Okay, fantastic. Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see so many here. It is brilliant to be able to be here and give Andy Garlick stick about Tottenham, and it not being me that gives him the stick about Tottenham. Well done on that, John, wherever you are. But it's true, isn't it? You know, model yourselves on Spurs, the nearly men. It's dangerous saying that, being a Liverpool fan, because every year is going to be our year. I'm just hoping it's not going to be next year, that it's this year. But we've had a brilliant week down here. It's been fantastic to come into, back down to Battle. 11 years we've been coming. I think I missed 2 years ago, and I think 3 years ago was when you actually came as Pastor Ed, and you were in the glass box that morning, and I was a little worried that the pastor was in the glass box, and I'm even more worried that he's still in it. But it's been good to come and to just enjoy things that we enjoy. Have you enjoyed the football? Yeah? Have you enjoyed the netball?
No.
Coaches, have you enjoyed coaching the kids?
Yes.
Parents, have you enjoyed 4 days of peace and quiet? And it's been great to come and to see the kids improve. One of the joys of actually coming back to a place year on year is seeing the people who were children developing and becoming young men and young women. I mean, Owen was down here when we first came, and now he's probably taller than me, which is a little worrying, but not difficult. But it's great to see them becoming young men and young women and being able to have that input into their lives year on year as well. And every year, as you know, we not only do the sport, but we share with them what we believe about the Bible and what we believe about God and about Jesus. And I think if you talk to us or you listen to us, I think you get the feeling or the idea that we're passionate about that. That we actually believe what we're sharing. We believe what we're talking about. Maybe not like the politicians. But we certainly believe the Bible. We believe the Word of God. And I want to read a few verses from the Word of God this morning. And it's a passage that really we should be reading next Sunday, Easter Sunday. But I can't wait for Easter Sunday, so I want us to read it this morning. And we're going to read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and from verse 57. And what has happened, it's Good Friday. And Jesus had been arrested, he'd been whipped and beaten and mocked, and then he'd been taken and he'd been nailed to the cross. And he died on that cross. And it was coming to the end of Good Friday, and this is where we pick up the reading. And it says, "Now when evening had come, there was a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate, the Roman governor, and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, 'Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver,'" and they're talking about Jesus here, "'said, after 3 days I will rise.'" It's interesting that the Pharisees didn't believe anything else Jesus said. They didn't believe that he was the Son of God who he claimed to be when he said those things. But they believed what he said about rising again 3 days. And they didn't want that to happen. So they said to Pilate, "Command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people he is risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way, make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. And now we move on to the next day. "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. I don't know what you think when you read verses of Scripture, when you read from the Bible, or maybe when you hear people talk about things in the Bible. I don't know what you've made of that reading this morning. Maybe you're sat there this morning and you're thinking, oh, come on, angels. You know, men becoming like dead men, fear. Angels talking to people. And I don't know your background, I don't know your thoughts, and maybe you're, oh, what a load of codswallop. Do you know the word codswallop? It's a Lancashire phrase, so forgive me. You know, I don't know what you think about stories and accounts that we read in the Bible. You know, we've looked this week at our theme is Mission Impossible. And we've looked at some of the stories, some of the accounts in the Bible. Joshua and the walls of Jericho falling flat after the children of Israel had marched round once every day for 6 days, 7 times round on the seventh. They shouted, they blew the trumpets, the walls fell flat. I believe it because it's there in Scripture and I believe the Word of God. We've talked about Gideon, 300 men defeating 135,000 without having to lift a sword. We talked about David slaying a giant of a man. I wonder what you think. Ah, impossible. You know, we've got to be careful just to jump to a judgment before thinking things through, before looking into things more seriously. There was a young girl who was reading the Bible in class at school one day, and she was reading about Moses and the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And they came actually to the Red Sea. The Egyptian army were following them. The army was behind them. The Red Sea in front of them. The Israelites, the children of Israel, were trapped. But then God said to Moses, hold out your rod over the sea. And the waters parted, and the children of Israel crossed through on dry ground, the Bible tells us. And this little girl read this, and she goes, wow! Amazing! Fantastic! Isn't God great? And a teacher came over and said, what's so exciting? What are you reading? She said, I've just read that the whole of the children of Israel just walked through the Red Sea on dry ground. They walked through and they were free. And the teacher said, whoa, just a minute. You know, what you need to understand is where the children of Israel were as they came to the Red Sea. The Red Sea was only very shallow. It was only a couple of inches deep. And so they were able just to wade across. It didn't even come up to their knees. So the little girl thought, oh, okay, fine. She carries on reading. And after a few minutes, she let out another great, wow! Isn't God amazing? So the teacher comes over again and says, what now? And the little girl says, brilliant. God has just drowned the entire Egyptian army in 2 inches of water. You see, the danger is we read into Scripture and we try and interpret it from our viewpoint. That's impossible. It could never happen. But we take God out of the equation. And the verse that is on the t-shirts is Matthew 19:26, where it says that Jesus looked at them. He looked at his disciples and he said, with man, this is impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. And as we read the Bible, you see, I read the Bible and I don't take God out of the equation. Because I believe God is who he is, who he said he is. I believe God created this world. And a God that can create this world and create you and me can do anything. The accounts I read in the Bible, he can split the Red Sea so that the children of Israel could go through on dry ground. He could enable Joshua to walk round the city of Jericho and the walls fall flat, because my God is a God of the impossible. And we see it no more clearly demonstrated than in those verses that we read together. Because if there's any day that the history of the human race hinges on, it's that Easter Sunday. Next Sunday, when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And I know people have said, Do you know, it's not true. People have said, I don't believe that the angels were there. I don't believe the account of the crucifixion. And some people will say, well, you're only getting that from the Bible. Do you know, historians at that time also recorded similar things. They recorded that a man called Jesus did amazing things. They recorded that a man called Jesus was taken and nailed to a cross. They recorded that his followers said that he'd risen again. And they changed the world because of that belief that they had. And you know, sometimes people will come and they'll say, they'll try and explain it away. And they'll say, well, you know, the women who went to the tomb, the two Marys, they were probably grieving. They were upset. It was early morning. It hadn't yet come light. They went to the wrong tomb. Simple explanation. They went to the wrong tomb. And they found an empty tomb. And they were maybe hallucinating and thinking, well, you know, wanting to see an angel, wanting to hear that Jesus, whom they'd loved, had risen. Simple explanation. But there was a simple solution then for the authorities, wasn't there? They'd gone to the wrong tomb. No, this is the tomb we put Jesus in. And actually, his body's still in it. If the women went to the wrong tomb, why didn't the authorities just point out the right one? Because they couldn't. Because the tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. Did they see things when they were seeing angels? Well, yeah, you can get away with maybe one or two people experience the same sort of thing. But hold on a minute. Jesus appeared alive to all his disciples on more than one occasion. And in fact, Jesus appeared alive to a crowd of over 500 people. Now, you won't get 500 people having the same hallucination. Some say, well, actually, you know, Jesus didn't really die on the cross. He swooned, he fainted, he collapsed. They thought he was dead. And they took him down, put him in the tomb. The cold of the tomb revived him. And he was able to get out and escape. Well, again, let's look at the facts. Jesus had been arrested. He'd been whipped and beaten. And we're told that the Roman soldiers, the whipping and beating that they gave to their prisoners, quite often killed many of the prisoners. Jesus couldn't even carry his own cross to be crucified. He was so weak from the beating. Somebody carried it for him. When he was on the cross, he was put on the cross by expert executioners. And one of them came to check that Jesus was dead and thrust a spear into his side. And Luke, who was a doctor, recorded that blood and water came out. And that proved that Jesus had died. If just blood had come out, it wouldn't. But blood and water came out that proves, medically, Jesus was dead. So there was no doubt, no mistake. But let's continue the theory a little more. So imagine he had swooned. They took him, they wrapped his body in grave clothes. Strips of cloth, tightly, all the way around, from head to toe. Would Jesus have been able to free himself from those grave clothes? I don't think so. If he had freed himself from those grave clothes, would he have been able to have moved the stone that was rolled over the entrance of the tomb, which we're told by historians could have weighed up to 2 tons? If he had been able to move the stone, would he have been able to overcome the Roman soldiers? You see, those Roman soldiers, I feel a bit sorry for them, because they were given an impossible mission. Go and guard that tomb. You know, well, what were we guarding it for? To stop a dead man coming out. You know, that was really what they were sent to do. But it was impossible for them to do it because they weren't dealing with a dead man. They were dealing with Jesus, the Son of God. Some say, well, there was a switch took place. It wasn't really Jesus who was nailed to the cross. Some would even say it was Judas. And he was nailed to the cross. Okay, well, feasible. But why then did the Romans and the Jewish leaders not produce that body? You know, somebody else was crucified instead of Jesus. Somebody else was put on the cross. Jesus went free. Somebody else was put in the tomb. Well, why was the tomb empty then? Why did they not say, well, hold on, it's still here. The person we crucified is still here. Because the tomb was empty. Because an angel did come and roll away the stone. not to let Jesus out, but to let us see in that Jesus was alive. And some say, well, the disciples stole the body. Well, what happened when Jesus was arrested? His disciples ran. They fled. We read that they locked themselves behind closed doors in Jerusalem for fear of the Jews. They were afraid that it was going to be them next. So would those men then have gone and overcome soldiers? Would those men then have taken the body of Jesus out and hidden it somewhere? And then gone around saying that Jesus is alive? Would those men then have gone to the death, and many of them did, for a lie? I don't think so. A man called Charles Colson said this: I know the resurrection is a fact, and the Watergate scandal proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead, then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Every one of them was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it were not true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep a lie for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. You know what I want to say to you today is the Word of God is true. The Word of God is true. Jesus did rise from the dead. And people have looked into it. You see, Christianity hangs on that fact. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then he didn't do what he said he was going to do. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then is he the Son of God? If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then what have we got to share? Nothing. I might as well sit down. But Jesus did rise from the dead. And he is alive today. And you might say, okay, well, what's that got to do with me? Well, you see, we've got to look at the facts then of why did Jesus die on the cross? And Jesus died on the cross in your place and my place. Well, why did he need to die in my place? Because we've all rejected God. We've rejected God's authority. We've said, God, we don't want you to be over us, in charge of us. We want to live our lives ourselves, go our way. And some of us have even said we don't even believe you exist. We don't think you know what you're doing. A few weeks ago now, we had the Caribou Cup Final. I don't know who on earth named it the Caribou Cup Final. But we had Chelsea playing Man City. And towards the end of extra time, the game locked in a stalemate. The Chelsea manager wanted to take off his goalkeeper, a guy called Kepa. And the goalkeeper refused to come off the field. And we saw this played out. Who was going to win, the manager or the player? But the player rejected his manager's authority over him. He questioned whether the manager knew what he was doing. And he ended up staying on the field. You know, when I saw that, that reminded me of how we are with God. God, I don't want you in charge of my life. And we rejected him. And we questioned, does God know what he's doing? And they questioned, did Sarri, the manager, know what he was doing? Well, actually, he could have had the perfect substitute. Because on the bench was a guy called Willie Caballero. And he was a goalkeeper. He was going to come on instead of the goalkeeper who was on the field. And Willie Caballero has a great record for saving penalties. 2 years earlier, he was playing for Manchester City against Liverpool, and he saved 3 out of the 5 Liverpool penalties to give Man City the victory. He was the perfect substitute to come on in that situation and do what the other couldn't. And you know, we've rejected God's authority, but God says, you know, I love you so much that I've got the perfect substitute to come and take your place. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he was dying on the cross in your place and my place for what we've done, said, and thought that is wrong, for our rejection of God. And Jesus was saying, that doesn't matter, because now I'm standing in your place. I'm taking your punishment. Why? To make it possible for you to be forgiven and for you to receive life and life in all its fullness. And when I was 16, I simply got on my knees and I said, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for living my life without you. Please, will you come and change my life. And I'm so glad that I did that. I'm so glad that now I know I'm forgiven. I know that I've got peace with God. I know that I don't need to carry a guilty conscience because God has wiped the slate clean. Because Jesus paid it for me. And I know that wherever I go, Jesus goes with me. And a sushird doesn't mean that you get an easy ride from here on in. It doesn't. Seeing you lose loved ones, seeing your wife go through cancer, it's hard, it's tough. Seeing a brother-in-law 2 years ago die to throat cancer, it's tough. But seeing the peace in his life because he knew Jesus, it tells you it's real. And I don't know your thoughts today. I don't know where you stand or where you're from or your background. You might still think the Bible's a load of rubbish. But I would encourage you, don't dismiss it without looking into it. Don't dismiss it without looking into the facts and finding out for yourself. It is a matter of life and death. Because Jesus wants to give you life and forgiveness. Don't continue to push him away, but seek him out. Because we all want to know the truth. And the Bible says, then you will know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for the Bible. I thank you that it's true. I thank you that it tells us about ourselves. It tells us about you. It tells us about your love for us. It tells us about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for each and every person here, from the youngest to the oldest. Father, I pray that you would speak into their hearts today. Lord, I pray that they would begin to seek out the truth for themselves. That they would want to ask questions. They'd want to know the truth. And that they wouldn't just dismiss it without looking into it. And Father, if you are really speaking into anybody's heart today, then I pray that they wouldn't leave without coming and talking with myself or with Sue or Mark or Ed or anyone else here that they know is a Christian following Jesus. And Father, I just pray that you would speak on into hearts and lives. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, if you want to know more, please come and speak to us. If you don't agree, please come and speak to us. Don't go away, shaking your head going, what a load of rubbish that was. Please come and speak to me. I'll be happy to chat about it and to share with you what I found, and why I found it to be true. But thank you again so much for coming. If you wanted to know a little bit more, Sue's written a booklet. It's called Cancer, Christ and Me. It's because as she shared about going through the cancer, Jesus was just so real. That's how she knows that it's true. Because he walked so real with her through that. So please feel free, there's out where there's tea and coffee to take those. We're going to sing a final song together, and then Mark's going to close for us. Thank you.